This is a replay of New Year's Eve on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
James, well, here it is, the last hour, two, three, or four, depending on what time zone you are in here, of 2025. Many people saying good riddance, but well, we might talk about that, but probably not. What we are going to do is definitely talk to Steve Bryant. That's become tradition every New Year's Eve, and I gave him the opportunity this year to beg out and do it on New Year's night in case he had better plans, but I think I won, so hey, I'm excited about that. Steve, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Raleigh, thank you. Happy New Year to you and John. And as for better plans, at age 75, the better plans would be, a colonoscopy.
Oh, God.
Yeah, really.
Well, you know, you bring that up, and I do want to dive into one of the audio ditties that you sent me. But before we do anything else, Kimberly has been hanging on since before the show began. So we're going to bring her up on WGN Radio. Kimberly, it's been a while.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, what an honor to be your first call. That means so much.
Absolutely. Well, certainly you waited long enough.
It's okay.
Hi, Kimberly.
It was worth... Hi, Steve. Hey, my wonderful Facebook friend. I am so happy to talk to you. You are so filled with stories and insights and positivity. And I just love your Facebook posts. And I love all your insights and your stories. You know, you're one of the many, many things that keeps me going every day when I look at your posts. So what an inspiration you are.
What a wonderful thing to say. You already made my night, Kimberly. Thank you.
Yeah. So Kimberly, how are
hey, you?
You
know what? You know, you're 75. You don't look it.
Ah.
Oh, bless your heart. we're going to talk to you for the rest of the night, Kimberly.
Now, of course, hopefully it's not lost on you, but Kimberly would have no way to know if you looked it or not.
Oh, I see what
counts.
That's
right. I forgot.
Yeah.
But you know what? I get to see what counts.
That's right. Exactly. Yes.
You're beautiful.
Most of the time you see more than the rest of us. That really is true. But it's been a tough year for Kimberly. So how are you doing?
It has. I'm okay.
Okay,
sorry.
Good.
I'm okay. My dad died in 2024 in November, just before Thanksgiving. So Christmas was a blur. So this was really our last Christmas. I mean, our first Christmas without my dad.
Right.
And, you know, you don't earn a doctorate when you're blind without a village behind you. And my dad was my champion. And my mom, too. And we both miss him so much. And he was such a strong person. I want to tell you, Raleigh, my dad loved your trivia. He would listen. He never called in, and I always wished that he would, but he never called in, but he would always say, cut and paste that to me. Let me think about that all week. And then, all week, we'd try to guess the answer. You know, you had the holdover trivia.
Yeah.
He and I would try to guess the answer, but no, one of the most positive people I know, and I, you know, but I'm not the only one who's ever lost someone they love. And So I went from I love the holidays to, okay, I really can't wait for this to be over, but I'm going to work my way through it and do my best. So yeah. I usually get up at 5 o'clock in the morning because I'm grading papers. I've got 93 students. I teach Braille primarily to sighted Braille transcribers, people who are wanting to be Braille transcribers, mm-hmm. and so sighted teachers. And so I get up pretty early to start working, and I love it. So, but by 10 o'clock at night,
yeah, yes.
But I wasn't going to let this opportunity pass me by. So, yeah. So, what's Christmas like in Arizona with no snow?
Well, it depends where you are in Arizona, of course. In the higher elevations, there's plenty of snow.
No, but like where you are?
Oh, no. Well, in Scottsdale, no. But in Globe, 50-50. Sometimes yay, sometimes nay. But, you know, keep in mind, people ask that occasionally, and I say to myself, well, wait a minute. Half the world, or maybe a third of the world, is below the equator. It's always summertime at Christmas time.
Yeah. Well, that's neat. And did you have your I Hate the Holidays Club? I didn't get in.
Well, yes and no. We had a lot of interruptions this year, including Christmas Eve and Christmas Night. WGN ran the Dusty Road special, which was a wonderful show, but it preempted me. So we didn't get to. But I promise maybe next year I'll do it online, because I did have a lot of email from people who say, really miss you doing this. So maybe we'll do it online next year.
I am now with you. I am now ready to join the I Hate the Holidays Club, and I commiserate with so many people who go through this. So
Oh
my goodness.
You can remind people that it's hell, hell, ho, no, or at its best hell,
hey!
At its best ho, ho, hum. But yeah, and I think the genesis of it really wasn't whether people had a hard time at the holidays or not, so much as even people who had no reason to be upset, they just had it up to their eyeballs of the commercialism and the idea that they were supposed to be happy because it's the holidays.
That's it.
You know, and it's
that's
like,
it.
No.
If I see, you know, I
no.
love, when my dad was alive, I loved Christmas. He was Mr. Christmas. I mean, he honestly, he and I did the whole Christmas shopping thing. He was so much fun. Boy, without him in my life, it's just like when I look at those ads. You know, the one thing that's so funny, though? Some people run away from music, and when they grieve, I run to it.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
All I wanted to do was listen to music this Christmas, all kinds of music, and that's what really got me through the season. I have a couple of really great pianists on YouTube, and your music, I would listen to your playlists. I did do that with Apple Music. I would bring it up and listen, you know, every night you have the playlist on your website. So you were there.
Wow. Well, most of what we play is now by request. So don't let it reflect on me, for God's sake. Some of the stuff I've written, I have my limits. You know, there are things I just do not play. You are not going to hear Neil Diamond requests or things of that nature.
No.
But many of them that I'm on the fence about, it's like, oh, God, I hope nobody thinks I like this. You know?
If I have
Everybody hold just a second. You don't play Neil Diamond. I'm just crossing things off my request.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah,
Sunset Blue.
Oh, yep.
Steve.
Holy can't
Steve.
Yes.
Hey, Steve.
Be sure
to bring out the ukulele, because Raleigh's favorite. She loves ukulele.
Yes.
No, honestly, I play ukulele. And so when she said she hated it, I was like, okay, Raleigh, you've never heard good ukulele with jazz chords. All you've heard is this stupid tiny jam recording. It did such injustice to the instrument. You can do jazz chords. You can do all kinds of cool things with four strings, right, Steve?
Absolutely. Raleigh, one of the shows we spent together, Raleigh played a recording of mine on the curato, which is a Latin American adaptation of the ukulele, with me playing a John Hartford song. You don't know me where I live. Anyway, it's ludicrous. she played it.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I wish I could have heard that. Do you play dulcimer?
I play a mountain dulcimer. I don't play a hammer dulcimer. Yeah, once you get attuned to an open chord, I can get around it. It's my Uncle Harold, God rest his soul, who was an absolute lookalike for Burl Ives. In fact, they became friends. That's a long story.
Really?
But they became really, because it was like looking at twins. It was the coolest thing. But he once said to me when I was a music major in college, he said, you know, Stevie, I figured out most songs could be played with just three chords. And I went, we're all keeping that a secret.
Yeah. It's true. Well, three chords, but then if you don't make variations on that pretty soon, you're boring your audience. But yes, technically,
absolutely.
You know, three chords and the truth, and that about sums it all up. But I don't know. You've had a lot of battles with your life. I don't know what you're going to share with your audience and what you're not going to share. But what makes your music so special is what you've gone through, and all the adversity that you bring to the table has made your music better. You know, when people ask me about being blind and it's inconvenient as you know what, but you know, when I really really think about it, I don't know if I would change it, because I think the adversity makes you who you are sometimes.
Of course it does. I don't know that it makes you, or so much as it brings out what's inside to begin with. You know,
yes.
I don't think it changes anybody, but it certainly does reveal them.
Yeah. And the good side of my adversity is laying dormant for a couple of years, and I'm going to try to bring it back out.
All right. I'm counting on it.
Good deal.
And to Jim, who calls occasionally, I want you to know that there's hope. Yeah. And there is a place called Hadley Institute for the Blind that is specially designed for folks who are losing their vision. And there are a lot of good people and a lot of good stories. It's in Illinois, actually.
Uh-huh.
And it's an amazing place to start. And there's hope. There's hope. You know, for people who are just starting their journey or who haven't been able to find their way out of this, there's a lot of hope.
It's a good idea. And yes, we have talked about it. I hope Jim picked up on that. They were in Winnetka, so northern side of Chicago area.
Maybe if he doesn't, maybe someone else will.
Yeah, absolutely. So
life can be good.
Absolutely, it can.
Indeed.
All right, Kimberly. Well, it's been a delight having you call. It's been a while.
Wonderful, Kimberly.
Stay in better touch when you can be awake.
I will stay in better touch when I can be awake. And Raleigh, continue touching so many lives, including mine.
Well, thank you. It's just been a joy. All right, Kimberly. What a great way to start out the last few hours of the new year. Of the old
year. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely right. So, all right, now Steve. Steve. You sent me.
I'm still crossing the Neil Diamond songs off.
Oh, God, keep going, and you know everything that would go along with it. All right. I mean, come on. I think you're well aware, but you sent me half a dozen wonderful things, or five maybe. But anyway, I've got them all.
Good. Okay.
And of course, an older, wiser kind of guy, which you're doing yourself on this one, and I still think that is the piece de resistance of anything you've ever written. I just love it. And
thank you.
Never get tired of that. But you know what's coming, of course. We always talk about what's going on for Christmas, because after all, you've sold everything. After the poop and moose, I didn't think you could ever top it. But here we are. And of course, I'm sure to this day, QVC, assume they're still on the air, are certainly in the holiday spirit for December, because they want to move merchandise, no matter what they're saying about it. And with that in mind, I wondered, and you probably know exactly where all this is going to go, but I wondered, how much instruction do most of the hosts on QVC get about what not to say to the viewing public?
Now it seems like nothing. Before, we got a little bit. We had, in the early days, they had us meet with a linguistic expert, you know, to talk about, instead of calling everything amazing, you had a lot of synonyms you could use for amazing, and a lot of things about reaction. I know I once had to talk to a woman who called up and said, and this just made no sense to me at all. She called up and said, I just I just had to talk to somebody because I've decided I'm going to end it all. And I went, oh, come on, Helen. No, you're not. They're all Helen. Yeah. You know, Helen, come on. You know, and she went on and she was expounding her troubles. And what I was doing was writing notes saying, you know, you have all the information on this woman. Call the police. Get them to her address. Get them there now. As I'm saying, yes, that's right, Helen. And I realized I missed a golden opportunity because, you know, she's going, and I felt so terrible for her, but I think most people know that she probably didn't want to commit suicide. She wanted attention. She wanted people to know she was upset and perplexed, and I was serving as that purpose at that time. But I could have said, you know, Helen, since I have you on the line, we have quite a deal on Dominique right now.
You know, right, and since you won't have to pay the credit card bill anyway because you won't be here.
Really, go for it. I mean, we got some killer gold jewelry. You got a $7,000 gold bracelet. You know,
well,
leave it to somebody.
to my horror, I've done worse. Fortunately, it wasn't national. It was just El Paso, which is good enough.
Okay.
Right? Hispanic teen love advice. Anyway, she called and was just insistent that she was doing herself in. So finally I said, okay, well, if you made your decision, let's talk method.
Very good.
Yeah.
I should have done that as well. And, you know, said, well, look, what else are you doing for the holidays? Any other big plans?
Yeah, right.
Luckily, I could joke about it because the police, I heard there was a knock.
Said,
somebody's at the door. I said, get to the door, go to the door, God bless you. And I think I talked to the police and they got her help and hopefully she's still alive and doing fine.
The part that I can't conjure in my mind, and you know, it's obviously it's a very sad situation when you get to that last straw. And invariably, when it comes to suicide, it's not the precipitating event itself. It's the last straw of all the events that have come for God knows how long. But
exactly,
let's say the last straw is dropping right on the camel's back. Who says, I think I'll call QVC? You know, this
exactly.
is...
I felt touched that I was going to be the last.
She was touched.
You know, I thought to share because it was before the age of the smartphone and everything, so nobody had cameras because you say, well, look, could you get video on the way down if you're jumping, you know, something for your family, for your legacy. But no, so she's fine. People say, you're a monster. No, I'm not. She's fine. She's great and everything. And we got her help. And the thing is, I'm trying to, and you know how tricky this is. I'm trying to hold a conversation with her while I'm writing notes. For God's sake, call the police at her word. You know, right. Get them there now. Tell them she's going to kill herself.
It's
you know,
it's hilarious. And yes.
So anyway,
hopefully Helen lived to buy something else on QVC another day. But and I could see where that might not be covered in the meetings. But it's also possible that it would be. I mean, it's not completely out of the realm of consideration. On the other hand, what's coming is, and we'll start with our first bumper in moments here, and then. Then Steve will have a lot of splaining to do tonight, and you can join us at 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Lots of soap and water. Rinse and then repeat. You might need a Brazilian to keep it nice and neat. Well, underwear might be nice. It ain't no cure for a disease. Maybe drop the fancy undies and go back to BVDs. And be sure to join us for our Gloppy Crotch Telethon. We've already booked Wayne Newton and Charo. Gucci Gucci.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Now, this Steve Bryant, of course, at his finest here, is an outgrowth of what was actually broadcast on national television, maybe international for all I know, on QVC. What the hell is going on, Steve?
Well, this was written after I left. This was written, I think, last year.
Okay.
I happened to tune by QVC, And I saw one of the hosts, Jane, who's just a delight. Ask her. I watched her sell these underwear called Breezies. And Breezies used to be sold that they help to prevent any sort of infection down there. And they had to stop. I think the FDA said, excuse us, no. Soap and water, yes. Breezies, no. So, but Jane did say, she said, you know, this time of the year, it was in the summer, she said, this time of the year, you know, you get that gloppy crotch, and these can really help. These can really help with that. Oh, my God. Well, I immediately got the pad, got the guitar, and said, I got to write the gloppy crotch blues. And the opening line is, I'm cutting down on QVC. It's getting hard to watch. They're selling ladies' underwear as a cure for gloppy crotch. And this is on YouTube. If you search Steve Ryan gloppy crotch, it'll come up. I think it's like 2,400 plays of it. And it was all the rage for people that were on QVC bulletin boards were posting about, oh, my God, he must really hate her. Some people are very insightful. Anyway, I just thought the gloppy crotch blues was too good to pass up. I figured they don't want anything to do with me, so we're just going to have some fun.
As I say, if I were in charge of instructing the hosts what not to say on television and thought I covered all my bases, no matter what, I wouldn't come up with gloppy crotch.
Gloppy crotch.
What? You know, and
I know.
Yeah. And I just looked, by the way, I looked this product up on QVC. They not only still have it, but they have the best seller, the Sparkle Stripe, but they also have the High Cut and many others. So apparently, Gloppy Crotch does very well on QVC.
Well, I'm wearing glittery Sparkle one right now. I feel great.
I see the two-tone lace shimmer model as well. Set of two.
I've been looking at that.
Yeah. You really wonder, and you know, you used to go out of your way to find a selling point. But I don't care how many decades you were on QVC, never would it come up with you. You know, you wouldn't be playing no Candida songs either. You just would not have gone this route. So you really wonder, what possessed this woman?
Well, she's been there since the very almost since the very beginning.
Uh-huh.
And after 30 plus years, you start running out of BS. You say, well, what else can I possibly say about this? I mean, I was running out, after 15 years, saying, well, what else could I say about this? I said some unkind thing, not unkind, I should say, but unwarranted things. I once was selling, there was a big thing for a while. They used to have these giant candelabras that you'd put in your fireplace, which were impossible to clean because the wax would melt down. And there were like 40 candles that you would light. The first one was going out by the time you got to the 40th one, and you put them in your fireplace. But I figured I'd start my show one day, and I just thought I'd noodle on the guitar in front of the fireplace. And I looked up, and I just looked right at the camera and said, do you ever make love in front of the fireplace? I thought, oh, that's going to bite me big time. And it did. But
well, I wouldn't imagine, but and I've not seen this delightful product that clearly was in homes coast to coast, but fireplace candelabra, normally the fireplace comes with its own fire. You don't have to design it further.
You were trying the pitch. The vendor told us the pitch is that you don't have to ever clean your fireplace. No, but you've got a wax encrusted candelabra that probably after the first time the candles melt down is a walking fire hazard.
Oh my dear God.
Anyway.
Yeah, and this apparently, here again, I looked it up while we're speaking. This is everywhere. People clamor for this. So there's a lot to be said for some of what QVC sells, I suppose. But I still say it would help a little if they'd coach the hosts on how to present the product.
Oh, God, yes. Well, I used to be part and parcel of that. And I would take a group of hosts under my wing I always got the caveat before I'd have a class with them and said, look, we don't want them as outrageous as you are. We I was like Jack Webb, just the facts, man.
Right.
The facts. Okay. So, but I trained the hosts and got them going. There's one host who's still there.
Wow.
Who's still there because they were ready to fire him. And I said, no, he's got something. I can work with him. I can work. And I was able to get him to channel what he needed to channel to sell things to people. But these days, I mean, Raleigh, they're in such horrible financial trouble. They're going down hard. They're just going down hard.
Well,
it breaks my heart.
You know, I hate to say it, but deservedly so. And what I mean by that, what made QVC a standout in the beginning was personality. There was some recognition that, yes, you wanted people to order the products, but if you wanted people to listen to the products, you had to give them something that was entertaining. And somewhere along the way, someone decided that that's just not necessary. And I would assume that everything nosedived after that.
It did. It really did. And it was one of the reasons I left. There were a few, but one of the main reasons was that they were starting to edit out all the fun. In other words, I would get called on the carpet like daily. You know, did you say so and so? I said, well, yeah. Well, you know, that's you offended somebody. It's like the I think I told you last year about the automated pooper scooper.
Oh God.
Which and here was the selling point. This thing, you loaded a plastic bag into it. It was battery powered. Okay, you loaded a plastic bag, you put it in, and you would go along, and little grapplers would come out, grab the poop, and throw it in the bag. And the vendor pitched it to us, saying, you never have to clean it. I said, excuse me, those little grappers that grab the poop?
Right.
I said, they're going to get filthy. They're going to be like the you know, ground zero for the plague.
Exactly.
You know, no, you got to clean. So but they didn't listen to me. So to demonstrate it, we used to use the plastic dog poop that they sell in junk stores.
Right.
And we're going scoop that up. So one day I came out and it was the cold open to the show, meaning beginning the show before the show really begins. And I came out and I said, hey, the automatic pooper scooper's coming up. Take a look. Oh my gosh. Look at all that. And there were all these little dog poops all over the floor. And I said, boy, it sure does look like dog poop. Hold on a second.
Oh,
and
no.
I picked one up and I squeezed it by hand. I said, yeah, it feels like dog poop.
Oh,
hold
God.
On. I sniffed it. I said, smells like dog poop.
No.
Hold on a second.
No.
I licked it. I licked it.
No.
And they said, tastes like dog poop. And I threw it back down. They said, good thing I didn't step in it. And I think I almost got fired because some lady, again, Helen in Des Moines, passed out when I licked it. She thought I was licking an actual piece of poop. Now, you know, granted, licking a piece of plastic poop that had been on a studio floor, probably not the smartest thing I've ever done, but it wasn't, I wasn't licking real poop, but she didn't know that.
See, if I'd been watching that particular segment, and I would be with rapt attention long about that time, the first thing I would wonder when you said, tastes like dog poop, what were you comparing that to, Steve? How do you know that?
See, that makes you smarter than most people who watch QVC to draw that conclusion. But you're exactly right. No, it was something, and I they sort of never scheduled me with that product ever again. The vendor got very upset. I heard the vendor was upset. He made a mockery out of our product. I said, your product scoops up dog poop. It's a walking mockery. You know?
Well, I'm looking at some of the fine varieties of this on sale right now, including the 32-inch pooper scooper, I guess if you have a really large dog. But the deal is, in every case, what you're pointing out is very obvious. You are going to have to clean this. Some of this, certainly the part that's doing the scooping.
Well, that's right. That's right. The excuse they gave me was, well, you squirt it off with your garden hose. I said, A, tough to do that in many parts of the country in February, and B, water doesn't sanitize anything.
Well, it also, unless you've got the kind of pressure that would move a Volkswagen, it also won't remove everything.
Exactly, exactly. It's just, they say, most people just keep this outside. I said, okay.
For very good reason.
Yeah, really. I mean, I'm putting the pooper scooper in the closet.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, for God's sakes, not in the kitchen. But, of course, you've been comparing it to a taste-tempting treat, so I don't know. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're talking with Steve Bryant. And, yes, of course, we'll get to this Christmas, too, although I'm not sure that we can beat Christmas past. We'll also get to Chris in Greenwood, who's calling in, and there's room for you, too, right here on WGN Radio.
I used to do it all night, now it takes all night to do. Never ate before sundown, now I'm chowing down at two. And I avoid the prime rib, it's just too hard to chew. I'm an older but wiser kind of guy. I have wrinkles everywhere, some places wrinkles shouldn't be. And AARP's been after me since I was 43. And it takes about an hour every time I pee. I'm an older but wiser kind of guy. I get discounts everywhere I go. Where were they when I was making real dough? There's a special bus for every grandpa and gram. I take it, but sometimes I forget where I am. Well, I bought myself an iPhone. Can't use the thing at all. It doesn't really matter, cause I never get a call. My belly got so big, but my bladder grew so small. I'm an older but wiser kind of guy. I've got a special doctor. He's a geriatric whiz. I'm gonna go see him when I remember who he is. My memory's not that bad, but I hope there's not a quiz. I'm an older but wiser kind of guy. Can't afford to go too far away. Stay home when I take vacations. Can't even find music I like. It's even too old for the oldies stations. Well, there are dating services for those who did survive. I'd like to try them out, but I think my wife is still alive. And if it's further than 2 blocks, you know I'm gonna drive. I'm an older but wiser kind of guy.
WGN Radio, Steve Bryant, still my all-time favorite. Makes me smile every time I hear it. Can't imagine why that wasn't a huge hit. And I'll tell you, the Oak Ridge Boys would have been on the charts again if they weren't so stupid refusing to do that.
Well, thank you, Raleigh. It's of all the things I've written, it is my absolute favorite.
Yeah.
I the reaction it gets from a live crowd is wonderful. I mean, it's just it's just great.
Well, it's all true. Everybody, well, maybe not knowing if your wife is alive, but the rest of it, most people can relate directly to. You betcha.
Well, I just sat down one day and I said, well, what's going on? What's going on with me? Well, I got. Okay, I get up a few times during the night. Okay, I get that. I eat dinner earlier than I used to eat lunch some days.
It all sort of
came out of there.
It's just brilliant. But you know that's true. They talk about people who are as they get older, they get up earlier, and they talk about that the early bird is the state bird of Florida, and all of this stuff. And you know, I mean, I can't get much older. You know, I'm circling the drain already. I'm gone. And I'll tell you what, I cannot go to sleep before about 4:30 in the morning to save my soul. So I feel like I'm gypped out of this. Go to sleep early and get up early is not happening.
Well, that's good. That's good. You'll probably outlive us all for that reason. I think there's something in the DNA that when I usually go to sleep at midnight. And of course, we got a second dog. His name is Mason. He's wonderful. But we can't break him out of the habit of wanting to get up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And if we don't let him out at 5 a.m., well...
Right. He'll let you know, that's right, no matter how many of those pooper scoopers you order. So what is Mason?
Believe it or not, he's 3% Rottweiler. We had his DNA done.
Very nice.
He's a Schnauzer, Poodle, everything. It's funny because Maggie, my other dog, is a white 90% Schnauzer and 10% what they call mystery mutt. They can't
right.
figure that out. And she looks very, very Schnauzer-like. And he looks sort of like a dachshund, but not with a long, pointy nose and with short little legs. He's about, I guess, about 16. Maggie's about 19 pounds. He's about 16, 17 pounds.
Huh.
And I'm sitting here on the bed, and they're sitting here on the bed with me. They're my entourage. They go where I go.
I love it. So a random breed. All right.
Yes. Yes.
Very good. Well, a 3% Rottweiler. That's really interesting when you describe the rest of that body. Yeah. There's an inner Rottweiler wanting to get out of that dog. That'll be interesting one day.
he's got a bark. His bark sounds like he's a 65-pound Rottweiler.
Perfect. Yeah,
bark Perfect. Would break glass.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what you need. That's wonderful.
Yep,
you know, we make a lot of fun of the all Christmas stations. So, of course, now some of them start in October. And every year, right about now, Nielsen starts releasing the figures. And I get more depressed every year. Because apparently I just don't, I'm not in touch with the American public. Overall, Christmas stations saw an average 59% share lift in the ratings. This is all Christmas stations. Now, by the way, I'm not 100% sure about this article. I read it a few times while we were talking here, because they're talking about 11% of the adult contemporary and all that. And then they say 3% of the all news station. I'm like, well, how do you go all Christmas on all news? What the hell are they reporting? So I'm not 100% sure of what's involved here. But apparently, some of these stations have gone up 92% in the ratings, non-Christmas to Christmas. So, you know, all I can say is, please, God, do not let these people vote. That's about the only thing I can think.
One of the songs I've written a few Christmas songs. So they're okay. They're okay. But I'm working on the song that may do it. I'm working on a song that sums up why everybody is writing Christmas songs. The song is called Chasin' Mariah. Because that's what everybody who writes a Christmas song says, I'm going to write the next Mariah Carey jumbo, you know, millions of dollars a year.
Oh, that's funny.
Hits. They're all chasing Mariah. So and it rhymes with fire, so I got that.
Yeah, no, it does. I never really thought of it, but I find it interesting who writes these Christmas songs, like Frank Lesser and Mel Torme. You know, they're not really Christmas guys when you get right down to it. So
virtually every great Christmas song was written by a Jewish person.
And contend written in summer.
Exactly. They were, Mel Torme even admits, they were in Florida and it was really hot and they wanted a few, so let's write a Christmas song.
Right. It was July.
Along with
his
partner.
Yeah.
And boom. And Irving Berlin with White Christmas, he was just, you know, Berlin had the soul of a poet, and he just sketched out on a pad, you know, the sun is shining, the grass is green, the orange and palm trees sway. There's never been such a day in Beverly Hills, L.A., but I'm longing to be, but it's December the 24th, and I'm longing to be up north, and boom, then it's I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. And it just got to him that he's in Beverly Hills, the weather's perfect every day, and that's not what Christmas is supposed to be.
Yeah, well, at least, as I say, not in North America. I'd really like to get a sampling of Australian Christmas songs or New Zealand Christmas songs, because none of them are dreaming of a white Christmas unless something goes very wrong. So
that's true.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what they're
singing.
Yeah, what are they singing about? You know, and how is Rudolph delivering there? So I've never really investigated that, but because they got to have Christmas songs. I mean, that's got to be universal, but they can't be the same as ours, because all of ours involve some kind of snow.
That's right. That's right. They do, and of course, Jingle Bells was originally a Thanksgiving song, and they kind of purloined it into Christmas.
Which is really a shame, because there are no Thanksgiving songs.
Well, I said there, wait.
Don't tell me Let's Turkey Trot. I refuse to accept Little Eva.
Over the River and Through the Woods to Grandmother's House?
No, only if they started really early. No.
Or early, okay. Well, that's true. But I used to wonder as a child, you know, I wondered, how does Santa make it to every home? And in the 70s, ABC, in its infinite wisdom, greenlit a project to make a Christmas movie with Jacqueline Smith and Art Carney. Art Carney played Santa Claus.
All right.
That's pretty cool. because he did that in the Twilight Zone thing too. And I was,
yeah.
You know, it sounded like a great idea, but this woman, an oil company is drilling up at the North Pole, and they're like destroying Santa's workshop.
Oh, geez.
This woman gets trapped. You know, she falls through the ice, and she winds up in Santa's workshop. And so she asks the million-dollar question: "Hey, how does Santa make it to every home on Earth in one night?" And Mrs. Claus, which was played by June Lockhart, who we just lost.
She was so
great. She was absolutely great.
Yes.
Anyway, she says, "Oh, well, Santa has a fleet of satellites that circle the Earth."
Oh, no.
And actually slow time down.
I
thought, no, I don't know. No guy with a white beard is slowing my time. So I'm probably 196 years old, really. You know,
but, you know, think about this. Down. Because my entire life, what I want to do is to be able to go to the Time store, to go in and buy another Thursday or an extra Saturday or 2 hours on Sunday afternoon. If Santa Claus could actually slow down time and perhaps sell us a day or even a weekend, man, that'd be the greatest Christmas gift ever. Forget all this other stuff.
Oh, it would be.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Except our company was just using it to deliver, Mattel toys and things.
Right. Well, it is time for the news. I blew that again. We got Bob at night who keeps me in line. So hang on, and after the news, we'll be back right to it.
Good deal.
All right. So there you have it on WGN Radio.
Now that I'm older, still have my hair, most of it turned white. Every night I get up several times to pee. A big day out is my colonoscopy. Sleep in the guest room I have for years. My wife says I snore. Nights will feel colder, you'll be so much older when you're 64. I'm older than dirt. There's no place on my frame where something doesn't hurt. Used to be handy, fix lots of things. Now I just make calls. I could break a hip so I can't use my knowledge. Put my handyman's kid through 4 years of college. I still send postcards, I never text. Both my thumbs get sore. Sex is a memory, that's all that it can be when you're 64. Happy friggin' birthday to me.
Steve Bryan, who is with us in person. And my God, it's over a decade ago you wrote that. How much older do you feel now?
So when I wrote that, on my 64th birthday, 11 years ago, and I said, "Oh man, I am so old! Holy cow! I'd give a body part, a major body part, to be 64 again."
Oh, I know. And of course, every time we hear that, we think of the Beatles and how young they were when they were singing that. And,
that's right.
And how young some of us were when we were hearing it. 64 didn't seem like an achievable number. And now
right. It's,
like you say, you're just yearning to be 64 again. So, yeah.
Please.
Exactly.
You know, I was thinking, by the way, for the first Christmas, I think, since 1957, or first New Year's, since 57, it's raining. So during the news, I had to take the dogs outside. They're, of course, afraid of the rain. So I have to go with them and stand there. So I'm soaking wet now, but I'm okay.
Yeah, well, you know, it's raining here, too, actually. So, yes, it is throughout Arizona tonight. A couple places in real high elevations are probably snowing, but most of the state, it's just rain. So probably a pretty rainy New Year coast to coast. But it's interesting. I was talking with John because at this point in life, the last thing you want to do is go out on New Year's Eve. And I'm not even sure what the big venues are this year. If you were trying to have a happening New Year's Eve, what would you do?
There's a lot of stuff on here in Vegas. A lot of stuff on the Strip, where there 10 hotels are going to launch fireworks simultaneously.
what could possibly go wrong?
Well, yeah, really, what could go wrong with that? And then they're going to have a drone show. I don't know how the rain's going to affect that at all. But I was standing there getting drenched, watching the dogs, hoping, oh, please, please, just go.
Right.
Anyway, and they did, bless their hearts. And somehow they came in fairly dry.
Just unfair all the way around. Yeah,
it does. But I was thinking about Christmas and thinking about QVC. And, you know, we used to go off the air for 30 hours on Christmas Eve.
Really?
We would go off the air, and they'd clean the studio thoroughly. And
after the pooper scooper demonstrations, you betcha they did.
Got to do something there to get that bacteria level down. But it was always nice that it gave everybody a break. We went back on the air, went off at 4 p.m. Eastern time on Christmas Eve, and then go back on the air the day after Christmas at 8 o'clock in the morning, and just go for it from there. But they don't do that anymore. They have to keep selling because they're losing so much money.
Well, are they live all the time?
Well, they're not live. I think they're only live like 18 hours a day, and then 6 hours they're taped reruns. And of course, they have those new digital channels, which are just a delight. But they sometimes have live programming. I wanted to grab them and say, you don't need extra channels. You need extra attention to the channel that made you rich,
right?
You know, in the first place. And they don't. And of course, they used to sponsor the Westchester, Pennsylvania Christmas Parade,
right?
Which I believe is the largest small town Christmas parade in the country. And they've socked hundreds of thousands of dollars into that every year. And they don't do that anymore because they don't have the hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that. And it just made me sad because it used to be, I mean, Christmas, we all worked our butts off at Christmas time. And since I was a host who sold, I got roped into doing a lot of extra work, but it's all for the team, so of course you're going to do it. Nothing's the same, but this didn't have to happen to QVC. They didn't have to be circling the drain.
So the first question, of course, when you're talking about how in debt they are, is this because of the consolidation that they buy HSN or everybody else or what have you? Is this too many acquisitions?
That probably started it because they had their eye set on HSN forever.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they bought CBN,
right?
Cable Value Network, and Cable Value Network was many times larger than we were. But the mistake Cable Value Network made was they extended credit to everybody, and everybody defaulted on those easy payments. And while the books show, well, we got zillions of dollars. Well, how much do you have in the bank? $19.42. I mean, that's they didn't have the cash. We were able to buy them, and that was good. And we absorbed their subscribers, and things began to really, really pop and really happen. And of course, they bought HSN after I left. But I can remember conversations with our then president, and I said, you know, there's this company that. I said, I swear to you, they're going to be a monster. It was Amazon. So they're going to, and of course they poo-pooed it.
Right.
They said, well, they just sell books. I said, right. Yeah, they can get the book to you tomorrow.
Right.
I said, and they're telling me they're soon going to be able to get the book to you today. You know, same day. I said, they've got their infrastructure in place. I said, all they're going to have to do is get the vendors to provide the products, and they're going to be making zillions of dollars, and we think it's a big deal. We can do 2-day air delivery, you know, for a small fortune in extra fees.
That's interesting because I really didn't put that together timeline in terms of that when we're talking HSN, but QVC as well really was before the rise of the internet.
Yes.
right. So you see this all the time. And the one, we probably talked about this before, but the one that I will go to my grave not understanding is how the hell Sears could screw up the world's best catalog ever. So they discontinue their, and I mean, they knew about the internet. Obviously, they were backing Prodigy, for God's sake. So they were aware that this was a possibility. How the hell did they discontinue their catalog and not just turn it to online? I don't get it.
It had to be a series of just real bad errors that they made along the way. Well, JCPenney had a channel and that failed miserably.
That was awful. There were a lot of people in the 80s who kind of dabbled in it long before they should have, obviously. The timing
yes.
wasn't right, you know.
Yes.
I remember a friend of mine produced a few shows, one for Dole Pineapple. I always called it Fun with Fruits. And you mentioned the JCPenney, because that was another one that he had done a deal with them as well. And there were a lot of them. But this is before any, you know, it's certainly before anything that we know as the internet. So it was there, and there were people thinking of it. And I just can't imagine that QVC wouldn't be dramatically aware that this was the monster that could get them.
They felt the only thing I could think was that they felt superior. They said, "Well, we're QVC. We outdid HSN, and HSN was on the air 2 years before we were, and we still beat them." Okay, fine. We made some good moves. We made some very smart moves. The HSN hosts were, for a while, like carnival barkers, and that wore thin. And we were just like the person next door, just chatting with you about Boomers Boomers. They didn't see it coming. They had this wonderful thing called the QVC Express, which was a giant orange bus painted with a map of the United States.
Right.
And it used to go to, it was called the 50 and 50 tour.
Right.
And they would go to 50 states in 50 weeks, and they would, find the best products in those states and sell them on the air. We had quite a few super successful products from that, all made in America. And of course, I think the first person to go to the board and say, "We need to do Made in America hours."
Right.
It'll put us so far ahead of everybody. Nobody's doing it. No, and they were making so much money with the Chinese junk, better word than I was coming up with. Chinese junk they were selling, and it was, you know, it was so frustrating to me. And now, of course, we've talked about this in the past. I offered to help them for free. I said, "I don't want any money." I said, "But I know what works." Yeah. And obviously you don't. You know, you have all these woke people. They made two motion pictures. They made two full-length motion pictures.
What about?
Oh, Holly and the Hot Chocolate's my favorite.
God.
It was, and here's this is like a 90-minute movie. I think it's 90 minutes. But a full-blown movie, a movie studio produced it for them. They got a professional producer, director, everything. And David, the kitchen guy, portrayed the guy who made the best hot chocolate in the world. And what they said was, "We will sell billions and billions of dollars worth of this hot chocolate because it's the best hot chocolate anybody ever found." Okay, well, it's kind of hard to screw up hot chocolate, but all right. So they did this movie, and things in the movie were sort of for sale, and it was so bad, Hallmark and Lifetime wouldn't take it.
I love it.
And then they did another one.
No.
They did another movie, and this movie, virtually everything was for sale. And it was something, but this is at a, you know, they put a little graphic up on the screen. People would be having dinner, and they'd say, "Oh, you know, West Haven Steaks for $93. Everything had a graphic.
That's hilarious.
With the story of the movie. But back in the late 80s, early 90s, when cable shopping was hotter than a pistol, there were two sitcoms made, super secret. I shouldn't know about them, but I do. I saw one of them, where things in the sitcom were for sale. hey, Charlie, turn on that lamp. And no. The announcer would come in and say, you know, Johnson & Brothers table lamp, 1995, you know, and the graphic would pop up on the screen. And then it would go on from there. So it was like a sitcom, just a, you know, standard family-oriented sitcom. And that failed. It never saw the light of day. And they thought they learned from that one, so they made another one, and that was just as bad. Now, and the second one I didn't see.
I assume these were pilots, so they were actually pitching them to somebody at that point, ostensibly one of the networks. One of the Alphabet Soup networks. Yeah, who obviously laughed them out of the room.
They did. And the thing is, HSN had a successful game show for about a day and a half called the Home Shopping Game. And it was basically a trivia game. It's a question and answer, stupid. You know, it's sort of like take every game show you've ever seen and condense it into one. And that's what this game was. And they had their big deal host, Bob Sercosta, who's a good guy and knows the business. He was the host. And they would wheel people in. But what they didn't realize was nobody had opted for the way to wheel them in. So they put the set on shopping carts, and one of the shopping carts had one of those chocolate wheels. So when they wheeled them in live on television, because it cleared over 90% of the markets in the country, the thing would, you know, eventually come in with the contestants on the set, and that was on the air for a few months. And it was real big when it first hit, because obviously you clear 90% of the nation, you're doing pretty well. But then the station said, God, nobody's watching this junk.
Right, exactly. That was the end of that. It's, you know, I guess in a way it's not unusual, because very often any entity that's successful seems to poo-poo anything new. And there's so many stories of that when, you know, Kodak turned away Edwin Land and Polaroid and all of that. And, you know, all of the things, Xerox with, you know, computers and everything else and everything else. We could go on and on. So I sort of get that to a degree. But at the on the other side, Joe Siegel, who I'm sure was there when you started working there, this guy had founded the Franklin Mint. He knew about direct mail order and direct response selling better than probably anybody. And, of course, there was Home Shopping Network at the time, but it was first a radio network, and the thing they didn't have was any kind of distribution. So I guess it was Siegel who went to Ralph Roberts to say, hey, you know, you got cable systems. We could get some distribution. And so it made a lot of sense initially when they were scrapping. But at some point along the way, they stopped looking at anything new as an avenue of doing things.
That's exactly right.
This is
right
very
on the mark.
Sad. Very sad.
It is. And it's just like I said, the whole thing with Christmas and Christmas used to be great. Of course, you were asking earlier if they told us what to say and what not to say. For a year, actually for a couple of years, we weren't allowed to say Black Friday. Because
Why?
They said that would be, it was offensive. And we also, then after the Black Friday debacle, then we couldn't say Merry Christmas. We had to say Happy Holidays.
Oh, God.
Even if the caller said Merry Christmas, well, you know I didn't listen to that. I'm thinking, you're going to fire me for saying Merry Christmas?
Right,
I said, press will have a field day with that one.
And there's been a real backlash to that, you know, across the country.
Yes, there has.
So that one's, you know, came back to haunt them pretty soon. But I would think with Black Friday, they could just turn that into Green Friday and everybody wouldn't have been happy because it was only about money.
Well, that's right. That's right. I mean, it was, people are afraid. People look for problems where there aren't any. Because they say, well, this is going too smoothly. There must be a problem. Where's the problem? I know what the first time on QVC that I think I did anything creative in my first year, we had this swimming pool with Barbie.
What could go wrong?
2 o'clock in the morning. What could possibly this lunatic host do with an above ground pool?
And Barbie
and Ken and Midge. So I went to the grocery store and got about 5 pounds of Jell-O, green Jell-O. And I filled the above-ground pool because, of course, Barbie would have an above-ground pool. It makes sense.
Right.
I filled the above-ground pool with Jell-O, and I staged a WWE wrestling match between Barbie and Midge, and Ken was the referee.
Oh, that's great.
And it was the gushing in the Jell-O, 2 o'clock in the morning, unheard of. This thing at Christmas time did over $40,000 in 8 minutes. And that was, back then, that was an unheard-of figure. You know, how in the world? And of course, I almost got fired for that. They said we thought it was very, very distasteful, Stephen. You know, and I had the two figures bashing each other. You know, in the Jell-O was flying everywhere, and they did ask the question, what kind of people were you selling this to? I said, people that wanted to spend $39.95 and have as much fun as I was having.
That's hilarious. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but unfortunately, normally you say nature abhors a vacuum, which I absolutely believe is true, but the problem is that it's being filled, but not over cable channels, not over satellite delivery, not over anything like that. I don't know if there's anything online that compares to it, but I can't imagine that there's a model for hawking these goods in this day and age without the entertainment factor. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you
sure
are, and we'll pick it up right there, right after the news, right here on WGN Radio.
There are places I'll remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone, some remain. Oh, these places have their moments. With lovers and friends, I still can recall. Some are dead, some are living. My life, I love them all. But of all these friends and lovers, there is no one compares with you. And these memories lose their meanings when I think of love with someone new. I know I'll never lose affection for people and things that went before. I know I'll often stop, think about them. My life, I love you more.
Of course, that's Steve Bryan, who certainly can play the guitar, as if you ever watch QVC, you know, because he certainly sold enough of them. So, Steve, welcome back.
Hello there.
And I just sent you a video, and I don't know if you checked it.
I got it.
Okay, here is the deal. When we talk about early shopping, I have talked about this thing for years because it was an absolute train wreck, and it was bicycle tapes. They would buy, time on these networks that were off the air, you know, or television stations that signed off after the Tonight Show or whatever, things like that. And they would show this stuff. The host was a guy named Pat Godwin, and I've been looking for this for years. Now, unfortunately, the clip that's online doesn't show him at his best. He had these two girl sidekicks, and sometimes the way he'd look at him was just absolutely falling down funny. But, you know, I asked you about this for years. For years, no one knew this damn thing existed, and it was from Jenkintown, Pennsylvania. Had you ever seen it?
Not the video mall, but there was one. There was one done in one of the suburbs, up there was a store called Teleshop.
Uh-huh.
And they used to do a show where Olive, their host, was also taking the phone calls.
Oh, perfect.
And she would take the phone call, but you didn't hear the call. You just
heard her.
Olive. You just heard Olive. So I won't. This is a family show, so I won't say what I did, but a friend of mine who is a quite brilliant writer, Harrington Smith, he and I, because we had nothing better to do, we
used to call her. We used to call her.
and do horrible, have her say horrible things.
Right.
You know, just that she would say, oh, well, that's, and she would say it, and suddenly she would realize she had just said something absolutely raving filthy. And she would hang up, and then we'd wait a couple of days and call her back. But yeah, but I didn't see video. I saw just a little bit of that video of all. It looked dreadful.
Well, it was dreadful, but the best thing was this guy, because he obviously had no respect whatsoever for these two gals and what they were selling. And sometimes watching the interaction, it was priceless. When I'd work at radio stations that had TV counterparts, you know, they'd have a TV in the lobby, so you'd get to see this kind of stuff. And it was almost appointment watching for me. And for years, I wondered, what the hell happened to this guy? And Pat Godwin was his name. I don't know. I have no idea what happened to him, but he should have won an award just for the look on his face with these two women.
Well, some of them, I know now, Amazon tried to do an online shopping show a la QVC twice. The first time they did it, it failed miserably. And then they called me and said, we'd like you to. And I said, well, tell me what you want to do. And I talked to, I had quite a conversation with their program director. And he said, so what do you think? I said, I think it's going to fail miserably. And I said, I'll say politely no. And it did fail. So they had two failed entries into the online shopping world. And a few people did. There was one store, I get nothing but the best offers. There was one out of Florida, somewhere down, I think Palm Beach or whatever, called the Comedy Shopping Network. Already it's done. I mean, it's like he was the perfect straight man. It was a perfect setup. The Comedy Shopping Network. And he called me and he said, I even rewrote the lyrics to They All Laughed. I said, well, that's a travesty. I said, those are lyrics are brilliant. Ira Gershwin and George Gershwin were joined at the hip for that one. It was perfect. And he said, oh, but ours is, you know, I'm trying to think of they all left when I tried to sell waffle makers. It was that ridiculous. And he said, so would you like to join us? He said, now, you won't be funny. He said, you'll be kind of
the straight guy, obviously.
You'll be Costello. Yeah, you'll be you'll be Abbott. You'll be right. Bud. You'll be Bud Abbott.
Right.
He said, and will the jokes will revolve around you as we have comedians doing the presentations. And he said, you just have to play it straight, kind of like Ted Knight or on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Or you just, I said, no. I said, and he said, okay, but we're going to be big. Yeah, that lasted maybe 2 or 3 months, and when the Comedy Shopping Network.
Yeah, that's where the answer is. I'm sorry, there's not enough money minted.
Yeah, exactly. Now, no, I can't.
Before we do anything else, I'm hogging you, which I tend to do quite a bit. And there's people lining up, and we're losing them in droves.
Please.
So
I apologize.
So before we lose another one of them, let's see if Jim in Drexel Hill is still with us. Jim, are you there? No, are you there, Jim?
Yeah, I'm
here. I'm sorry,
all right, okay, Jim.
Hello,
good.
Jim.
Okay, I got a question. When their presentation was done, was there an audience there? And the reason I'm asking, because there was a guy that had this lighted keyboard that the keys would light up and you press them, and he played the keyboard and it sounded good. And then it was snowed one night and he couldn't get in, and they had his other poor schmuck demonstrating it. And he tried to play, like, how about Yesterday by the Beatles? And I heard bam, 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 and I heard giggling in the background. And then he tried to do How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees.
Oh, God.
And it was that.
Sure.
Every song he did, I heard more giggling and louder giggling. So I just wonder, was that just cameramen or was there an audience back there?
For those, it was probably cameramen, but there was, we did have a live audience. We did have a live audience, and there was a theater that held 150 people.
Oh, really?
It was free, but you just had to get tickets in advance to come to see the thing. But what you heard were probably the crew just busted up when it just didn't work. And sometimes that worked out well, because sometimes we'd have a performer on the air and we didn't have an audience, but enough people gathered around so that the applause sounded full and genuine for them. So it was good that way, but usually not an audience, because there wasn't an audience.
It might work, because I almost bought one because I felt so bad for the guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was playing every song. Each song he played, there was more giggling and louder giggling in the background.
Yeah. Well, Jim, we tried a lot of things that didn't work. And one of them was an hour of Liberace.
Oh, God.
Now, he had been dead for many years.
Thank God.
So at the Liberace Museum...
Oh, yes.
There was a guy who looked just like him. He was a dead ringer for Lee. He looked, it was spooky. He was a doppelganger. And he came in. We actually brought in that piano with all the little glass pieces on it, the million-dollar piano. We brought that in, and I didn't have a chance to meet with him. His flight was delayed. And he's sitting behind the piano, and I said, "Hey, we're live with Liberace memorabilia. And joining us is the nation's number one Liberace impersonator, Joe Guacciapalupi, whoever he was." And Joe, is sitting there. And I said, "Joe, give us a little number." Well, Joe couldn't play the piano. He just pounded his fingers on it. And it was like somebody gave an orangutan a piano. He's like, I said, "Oh, that's fine, Joe. Thank you so much." And they never told me he could not play. Why would you have a Liberace impersonator? Granted, he looks like him, but he can't play a note. So same deal. And by the way, most of the hour failed. You'd be surprised how many people didn't want a little, dancing fountains diorama for their mantelpiece.
So you're saying that the giggling was just a cameramen and stuff that were on the background?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was very obvious. And it got louder each time he got it.
it's pretty, it's live TV. You gotta go with it, but he probably would have said, that's a case where most of those keyboards have a built-in demo song, where it's a song where you just would hit the, listen to this.
You
hit the button and keep away from it.
But, I always said there's a problem with it because there'd be a delay from the time you saw the light and did the key.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, though, Jim, when you think about it, as bad as that was, and I'm sure you were enthralled because it sounds hilarious, you turn it into day, there's nothing nearly as entertaining on now.
No, you're right.
No, everything is, I mean, this will tell you what it is. Several months ago, they had the band Coldplay on the air, the first musical act they'd had in like 3 years. And it's Coldplay, like one of the worst bands in the world. I'll get letters about that. I don't care. They are one of the worst bands in the world. And have you ever noticed Coldplay, all the bad stuff that follows them, like the Kiss Cam, that was Coldplay.
Yeah.
I mean, bad stuff happens because they're terrible. They just bring bad karma. But anyway, they had Coldplay on the air, and they were just... The word, I can't use any of the words I really want to use, insipid comes to mind. They were horrible. But we used to have great musical energy. We had Smokey Robinson on the air several times. What a cool guy. We had him. We had Emerson, Lake and Palmer. We had Richie Havens, James Taylor, multiple times.
There was time where CBC said they're going to have a music department.
Oh, God.
And they're just going to sell music.
We had a record company, Q Records, and it broke my heart because Judy Collins, who I adore, I just think she's terrific, and she's still plugging, man. She's banging in her 80s, and she's doing her thing. But we had Judy Collins. She went into the studio and re-recorded all her hits with horrible sounding electronic strings. Synthesized strings, and it was just, and she sold that crap on the air, and it just broke my heart that here's an artist of that stature doing that. They had I think they had not Bobby Vinton. Who did they have?
They had a Phil. They said they had a Phil Oaks composition.
Well, of course, Phil was not alive to contest it.
Right.
No.
Right.
No. He was. Well, that was. You don't want to hear the Phil Oaks story. It was not a pleasant one. But we had. He was on a compilation of folk music that we sold, and I actually played outside of a small circle of friends, and mentioned that song actually. That song got me fired from the radio, my first radio job.
No, it's a wonderful song. I played that as a bumper.
It's a great song. It's a great song. But the owner of the little dinky AM station in Atlantic City that was in a trailer thought it was a drug song and fired me on the spot after about every 2 minutes.
It sounds like it could have been recorded at the trailer park. Look outside the window. There's a woman being dragged. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
I know.
But yeah, we had
probably about 68.
This okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That he originally recorded that. Yeah. But we had him. He was on a folk compilation, and I played that on the air, just saying this song actually got me fired from a radio station.
Yeah. No. A&M released that in 68, and that was a fine album all the way around. I thought.
Oh yeah. He was. It's a shame. He just had problems. It's a shame because
Hang on a minute. Don't go away.
Sure.
I'm blowing the break again. I'm sure
okay.
I am. Stay I'm right sorry. Where you are right here on WTI Radio.
Happy
Thanks,
New
Jim.
Year.
Appreciate it. All right. We'll be back. We got Chris as well, and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Outside the window, there's a woman being grabbed. They've dragged her to the bushes, and now she's being stabbed. Maybe we should call the cops and try to stop the pain. But Monopoly is so much fun, I'd hate to blow the game. And I'm sure it wouldn't interest anybody outside of a small circle of friends. Riding down the highway, yes, my back is getting stiff. 13 cars are piled up, they're hanging on a cliff. Now maybe we should pull them back with our towing chain. But we gotta move and we might get sued, and it looks like it's gonna rain. And I'm sure it wouldn't interest anybody outside of a small circle of friends. Sweating in the ghetto with the colored and the poor. The rats have joined the babies who are sleeping on the floor. Now wouldn't it be a riot if they really blew their tops? But they got too much already, and besides we've got the cops. And I'm sure it wouldn't interest anybody outside of a small circle of friends.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It's 1967, actually, that the A&M released that as a single. Very few top 40 stations played it, but I thought it was an absolute masterpiece, and apparently you liked it.
I did, too.
Right? Yes, it was perfect.
It was fabulous. This radio station, WLDB in Atlantic City, hired me, Lewis and Dorothy Bremer. And she only hired me because I had a good record collection. She wanted to play progressive stuff during the afternoon, which is just what you want to play on an AM directional daytimer. And with her studio in a trailer, and she said, no drug songs, no drug songs. I'll fire you quicker than you know. Okay, fine. So I played that song as my opening song, and when it said smoking marijuana is more fun than drinking beer, she came in and fired me with a string of obscenities that I actually rather admired. I thought, boy, I never did that. That word goes with that word? Wow, that's
right,
cool.
Right, exactly.
And
yeah,
fine
conjugation there, yes.
I left the mic open, so it went all out over the air.
No.
And I said, good luck with whatever happens for this. I said, mic's on. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Oh, jeez.
And, well, that actually got my start in radio because the Atlantic City Press wrote an article about the shortest career in radio history. It was like 2 minutes and 40 seconds or whatever until she fired me. It was my first song I played. And John Struckle, who was the guy, the mastermind from the Steel Pier Station,
MID.
No, not MID, the big 100,000 watt stereo.
FM, yes, of course.
And anyway, he I don't know if he did me a favor or not. He said, I've got a guy that's looking for somebody. You know, he contacted me through the paper, and they got a hold of me, and I got my first job on WRNJ, the nation's yachting station, with Eddie Newman.
Oh, that's great. That's great. John Struckle was originally a disc jockey, Captain John, I remember.
Yes.
And so that was that goes way back. I think that was FPG in the 50s. But he was on OND too, actually, for a while, but that was back to AM.
Yes, he was. I got the job with Eddie Newman. Luckily, I was doing an all-night jazz talk show where I'd play jazz records and take phone calls.
Perfect.
And they, somebody at WMGM, which is OND's AM station, heard me. And I got a gig while I was in college a couple of years on MGM.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, playing music I liked.
Atlantic City's so weird because for 3 months it's the hottest happening market, and the rest of the time you're talking to the sand. You know,
that's right.
It's just, but it's a great place to learn because no one will hear you in the winter.
That's true. That's very true.
Now, believe it or not, we're only 2 minutes away from New Year's Day in the Central Time Zone. And the way it works on WGN, I can't do an actual countdown because we would only get to 10:09:08, and then we'd be cut to go to the news. Mm-hmm. So, and I've got Bob, who gives me the best links ever, and he is a stickler for time, so we won't be counting the New Year's down. But suffice it to say, 2025 will be ending in 2 minutes, actually. So,
well, happy new year to everybody in the Central Time Zone.
That's exactly it. And we've got another hour after this, and
you will join me.
And Chris from Greenwood, South Carolina will join us. And anybody else who would like to call at 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. So you're still in Las Vegas.
Yes. Northwestern suburbs. It's actually kind of nice up here. But still, with no traffic, 20 minutes to the strip if you wanted to take your life in your hands.
Well, it's interesting because you've been going to Las Vegas probably since I have been in the 60s, and it has changed so much. But now I'm not 100% sure, because to me, what Las Vegas always was to me was a great cheap time. I mean, parking was free. You could go to 12 casinos in a night, never pay a dime in parking. You know, you got free drinks if you were sitting there on the gambling floor, and the buffets and the meals were dirt cheap. And now it's the exact opposite. And we'll talk a little about that next hour, because I'm very curious to see how many people are coming now, and are they the same people when it was, Marge and Bob from Iowa just there to see Wayne Newton. All right, hang on. Don't go away. And that's where we'll pick it up. And we would be counting down New Year's Eve, but suffice it to say, it's happening 30 seconds from now on WGN Radio.
There's not much I haven't done, and nothing much that I can't do. I'll take on any challenge and always see it through. My years have brought me wisdom. God and common sense kept me alive. There's so much more I can do. I've got the time and still have the drive. Call me a senior citizen. I'm better than I was yesterday. It's high time I had my say. Call me a senior citizen. Advertisers say I don't exist. So many battles I have won, almost too many to list. I can drive an 18-wheeler,
Write a song that'll make you cry. I can still turn a pretty lady's head. I don't even have to try. I can build a bookshelf or a house. Fix almost anything that breaks. I'm not afraid to try new things and learn from my mistakes.
I'm Raleigh James, and yes, Call Me a Senior Citizen, that of course is Steve Bryant, and that was about 3 years ago when we were talking about that, Steve, and at the time, there were several artists who actually were looking at that. Whatever happened?
They looked elsewhere.
I
tried. I believe a lot of them are afraid to admit that they're into that age bracket, you know, with the amount of hair dye and hair transplants and liposuction that go on in Nashville these days. It came close. It came close, but it's still, I'm real proud of it. I had a guy named John Johnson, who acts as a producer for me. Sometimes I had him do the vocal cause I wanted it to have a real country sound to the demo. I did, all the guitar parts, It was a fun song, and I wanted this. It was sort of an answer to a senior citizen answer to Helen Reddy's "I Am Woman."
Oh God, help us!
Yeah. I know. Well, maybe a little less whatever that was.
But you know, I remember at the time it went to number one immediately on SoundClick, and there were thousands and thousands and thousands of other songs at the time, and it just zoomed up those charts. And so, like you, I thought, well, maybe this will be the one. But I don't get it myself, Steve, and I don't blame you for bailing from Nashville. That's for sure.
Yeah, it just was a shame. Well, you know, it's funny what works. I have a story on my blog, which is real easy, stevebryantblog.com. It's real easy to get to.
Okay, so stevebryantblog.com.
And that's got like 170-plus stories from my life and about stuff. And there's a story that I posted the other day, a true story. When I lived in Pennsylvania, the suburbs of Philly, we had a day when it really, really snowed, and a school bus got stuck out by everybody got stuck. You couldn't move. The roads were a sheet of glass. So all these kids were on the school bus. I invited them into my house, and the story is all about, these were incredible kids. They were teenagers, and, you know, it was snowing like a son of a gun.
Yeah.
And they were, I was 2 miles from a Wawa, from a convenience store, 2 miles. And I had tons of food, but nothing that a teenager would want.
Right.
So they said, well, we could go to the Wawa. I said, but we can't drive. I said, the car will never make it. And they said, no, we can run a cross-country team. And these guys took empty backpacks. I gave them some money. And they ran 2 miles one way to the Wawa in the snow, blinding snow, and ran back. And it was, the reason I bring that up, that story got 33,000 views in 2 days.
Wow.
And I who knows what people, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, well, that's so true. And if we could predict that, my God, all riches would be ours. Because I don't care how long someone's been in the business, when it comes to what will the public taste glom onto, there's no formula that works.
That's true. That's very true. Just, you were talking about Vegas.
Yes, I was. And so now, I laid the scene for that, from what it was to what it is. So I see these articles in the news from time to time about how Vegas is in real trouble and all that. But what's the truth?
The truth is the Strip's in real trouble.
Okay.
The Strip, the big boys are in real, real trouble, because for the longest time, and you've seen this in radio. I saw this in TV shopping. You see it in every business. They kept chopping people off. Well, we don't need this person. Well, we don't need this person. Well, we can get by without that person. And eventually there became like bed bug outbreaks in a lot of the hotels.
Oh, geez.
I know.
That's the kiss of death.
Indeed. And people stopped coming, not only for that, But the fact that a bottle of water on the strip used to cost a bottle, just a, like a bottle of whatever,
right.
You know, it's a store brand water, $20.
See, that's crazy. That's what I say. Originally, we all came to Vegas because literally everything was damn near free.
That's right, because they want you to gamble.
That's right.
It's 100% profit. The casino, go spend your money there.
That's exactly it. And so parking was free, and the food was pretty much free, and the drinks were definitely free. Yeah. So it's a different it's a different mindset. And the question is, who is it now attracting, if anyone?
Well, it's the strip's way down, way down in visitors. The casinos that are thriving are the independent ones that realized we're in the people business.
Okay.
We're going to give them a pristine room for a good value. We're going to give them great food as low as we could possibly price it. And these little, like the El Cortez and all these little, little guys that are strip adjacent are kicking. And also, that mindset has made it out here to the suburbs. Like I said, I'm 20 minutes from the strip without traffic,
right.
But the casinos out here, like the Rampart and the Suncoast and what have you, they have totally redone their facility. They've dropped their prices. They've made it very attractive for residents. You get a special discount if you're a resident. They've dropped as many prices as they can. And still stay in business because, again, they want you at the tables at the machines. That's where our money comes from. They're finally realizing that 400, because I remember when we first got here, I went, and I've told you this before, we went to the Golden Steer.
I love the Golden Steer.
It's a great restaurant.
Yeah.
It's a great restaurant, but I went with Roseanne and Alana. Her daughter.
By the way, I think I told you about the Golden Steer. I think that's how you knew about it.
Yes, you did. Yeah. That's exactly. I said, well, we got Raleigh speaks of their steaks, and really, it was great. I mean, I think we were in the Frank Sinatra booth because all the Rat Pack used to go and eat there. Everything's fine. The bill for three, without tip, $720.
I warned you. I did warn you.
Oh, you did. You did. You said it was
very pricey. But I've been going there for years and years and years. And I've always, and as you know, when you go there, I have to tell people about it because it looks like it's going to be a bonanza steakhouse. It's got this stupid looking Golden Steer out there and it's like in a strip mall. And it's like, how the hell could this be? And it's the best place in Las Vegas.
It really is. It really is good. I did find another one, though.
Yeah.
I found a steak that almost rivals them. And a steak dinner was $23.95.
Where is it?
It's called the Roadrunner Saloon. Roadrunner Saloon. It's on Tenaya and Washington.
Okay.
Tenaya and Washington. Here in the Northwest. It's one of those little mini casinos. It's got, you know, like machines at the bar.
The
video poker and what have you. I don't see any slots in there yet. Although they've changed the rules so these mini casinos can have slots now.
Right.
The food, they have jalapeno poppers. The jalapenos are about 5 to 6 inches long, stuffed with cream cheese, fried brilliantly, best jalapeno poppers I've ever had, and a steak that I would put up against Golden Steer. Golden Steer would win. But it would be, I'd hate to have to live on the difference. It'd be real.
Well, I mean, money-wise, that's off of 11. I just looked it up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right at the 11 crosses today are right there.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And it's Roadrunner. It's over 20, one of the 24/7 places.
Wow.
And the guy who owns it also owns the Vintner Grill, which is a white tablecloth killer place here. And same chef. So the food is superlative. Just unbelievable food. And one of the probably the best value in Las Vegas to do. But the places that are making it are the places that realize, you know, we're not going to gouge them because we make our big money when they put $20 in the slot machine. it's just sad because only in corporate America could somebody be this stupid. They said, you know what we're going to do for all the hotels on the Strip? We're going to have a special discount week where everything's going to be cheap and parking's going to be free. And, you know, and I said, okay, great, for a week.
For a week.
And business bumped up a little bit and right back down.
Well, of course.
Prices went back to normal. I think, what's wrong with you people? That's, yeah, you know, people are coming in. It's just something that we'll have.
Well, and the other thing, of course, the unwritten thing is all these people who were, you know, coming from Cedar Rapids or whatever, there are now Indian casinos on every other block. So the idea that you have to fly to Las Vegas to gamble is just not true.
It's the same thing that Amazon did to QVC. These Native American casinos are clobbering them. I like living here. I don't like the 3 months where it's 100. Well, it wasn't too bad this year.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad. But I've had some crime run-ins. I'm the wrong guy to have a crime run-in with, but the people who ran into me didn't know that at the time.
Yeah.
But it's a little wild and woolly. And of course, the big business out here, the big moneymaker, are all these injury attorneys because people drive like lunatics.
Oh yeah,
they got jingles, they got everything. Yeah. I mean, it's friggin' believable.
Yeah, yeah. So well, that's it. That's it. Do you think you'll stay?
I think for now. I kind of miss the cold weather. I miss snow a little bit.
Well, just go to Mount Charleston, for God's sakes.
Well, the thing is, so does everybody. So it's like this madhouse and people rushing up to Mount Charleston, and half of Mount Charleston, the big inn up there, burnt down. They haven't rebuilt it yet.
Oh, I hate to hear that.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's cool. I mean, I like it. The people are they're interesting. They're interesting. I haven't met too many. I've met a few musicians that are pretty good.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of a relationship with some people, and that's good. So we'll see. I mean, I'm still writing. I've as I said to you in the email, I have written my first of many songs about our country's 250th anniversary.
Ooh. Well, will we be getting a copy of that soon?
You will. You will be as soon as I want to produce it. I've got to do a rough copy so the producer can hear it and we can work out what instrument goes where and what goes where. But it's something I'm real proud of the lyrics, and I'm fairly proud of the melody. It goes where I want it to go. I've got to record it in one shot. You know, guitar and voice, and listen to it and really say, okay, well, let me change this. Let me do this. Let me put this over here. But it's something I want to do. It's just something. Sure. And again, nothing will come of it, but what the heck? What else am I doing?
Absolutely. And here I am hogging you again. And so we'll take a break to talk to Cortland and Victor and Chris. So Cortland in New Orleans, welcome back to WGN Radio. Are you with me, Cortland?
And also, yes, can you hear me?
Now I hear you fine.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to raise my voice.
No, you're doing good.
But I wanted to wish...
No.
Okay, thank you. You are too. But I want to, first of all, wish you both a happy new year, 2026.
You too.
And to you, sir.
Thank you. And Mrs. James, I want to say a few comments. I promise you I won't be on the air long because I know you have callers waiting. But may I have a quick word or two with Mr. Bryant?
Go for it.
Yes, right here. Hi, Cortland.
Yes, Mr. Bryant. Good
Steve,
good evening.
Please, Steve. I feel old enough. Steve is great.
That's okay. You know, as long as you live, and that's all that counts. But
good deal.
You know, I was listening earlier to what you said about QVC, and I'm going to tell you, Mrs. James, your show, I never thought it could get any better. With this guest on it, you've gone way over the cliff. Not the cliff, but you know what I'm saying, the plateau. What do you even call it? The mountain.
Well,
but
thank you.
I found that to be very interesting. Okay, you're welcome. I found it to be very interesting, Mr. Bryant. Years ago, I was married, and my ex-wife, she loved QVC, and, of course, she used to watch it every day and ordered more than what she should have. And I have to agree with what you said earlier about the part, one of the downfalls is they've lost their personality. And I hate to say this. I don't watch it as much as I used to. I mean, I scan the channels, and I find the host aren't as good. And let me just say this, if I may. I remember years ago, like I said, when I was married, I found the hosts were better, and one in particular was Miss Lisa Robertson. I think she was a former Miss Tennessee or a former Miss Tennessee runner-up. And
former Miss Tennessee.
Yeah,
she was fabulous. And Cortland, the nicest person you ever want to meet. Super nice lady.
I'll be darned.
And real talent.
And look, she was very attractive. And look, and I don't mean to say this to be offensive or male chauvinist, but she was a real dish, you know? You can tell she stayed in shape.
I'm with you.
And if I had to guess, she probably still does. But that's all I wanted to say to you. And I found that to be very, you know, anyhow, that was good information. Thank you.
All right.
Mrs. James.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yes.
You're welcome.
It is always good to hear from you, Cortland.
Well,
thank you, Cortland. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bryant. Mrs. James, I just want to say this real quick. It's my fourth time caller. I'm an avid listener, and I will continue to be plugged into your show because, like I told you before, it's very addictive in a good way. And I find your show to be very educational, very inspirational, and most of all, very rewarding.
Well, thank you.
So I really think that. Oh, you're welcome. I sincerely mean that. I just hope, and I've said this before, I'll reiterate it once again. I hope your show stays on the air ever because I'm in love with your show. I really think that your talk show, along with playing music and whatever information you provide, because you just blow me away with what you know about all these music from the blast from the past. I'm like, gosh darn, man, she doesn't even have time to Google this. She knows it like a book, you know? How do you do that?
Well, it's useless information, thank God for radio, because otherwise it wouldn't even get you on a city bus. It has no value except for this, so thank God for this. And we will talk to you soon.
And thank you, Mrs.
All right.
James.
All right.
You're the best.
Thanks.
And
appreciate
I love when you say WGN. Happy New Year.
You too. All right. And we will absolutely get to Victor and to Chris and to you too, as we've got another half hour with Steve Bryant. I promise not to to hog him for the next half hour, although maybe. And I'll have a link to Steve Bryant's blog, stevebryantblog.com, on Raleigh.net. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
On New Year's Eve, it's New Year's Eve and I got problems galore.
Raleigh James. Those are the Jewels. You'll remember their hit from 1964, Opportunity and Dimension. And before that, they had several things out on Checker, like that's what they put erasers on pencils for and stuff like that. But pretty much Opportunity was the only thing that really hit for them. And then they were on Federal and all that. But it was, I guess, 1989. It was a great album. It was a Christmas time album, a capital Christmas for all the DC groups, like the Villains and the Orioles and the Jewels. So they had Who's It Gonna Be on New Year's Eve, and I figured, well, we need a New Year's Eve song, I do think, and so now you've gotten one. We're talking to Steve Bryant, who is kind enough to spend New Year's Eve with me, and I'm greatly appreciative of that, and I've got so much to say, but I'm not going to say another word as people are lining up for you, Steve, so hang on here.
Wow.
Let's see. Waiting for, gosh, a good long hour is Victor in Silver Spring, Maryland. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you for having me. I have a sense of humor, and I love to hear the off-the-wall records. I remember a station in 1983, WJOK.
Oh, sure, in Gaithersburg. Signal, yeah, Gaithersburg. I remember them so well because I was talking to the owner back in when he went all comedy, and he said, I'd have more listeners if I stood on the corner and shouted the jokes.
Yes. Yeah, the signal did not get out very well. I got a chance to talk to Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
And boy, do I love his sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked him, I said, what did Madonna think when you took her song Like a Virgin and did like a Surgeon?
Yeah, right.
And he said a lot of artists really love the way he comes back and does all his crazy stuff. And I miss Dr. Demento.
Me too.
The people submitting their versions of songs. And it's too bad the station didn't last long. So it lasted about a year. It had a poor signal.
Yes.
And it was way out in Gaithersburg.
Right.
And it was difficult to hear. But boy, for that year, 1983, it was absolutely hilarious.
Yes. Yes. And I remember it well. They were on 1150, and they actually had about 1,000 watts at night. They had more at night, but they were ridiculously directional.
And, yes.
And remember that as what became WMET, I think. So in any event, yes, I remember it well, and I liked that guy who owned that station. I forget his name now, but he was a lot of fun to talk to.
Now, can you play like a Surgeon, maybe, for people who have not heard it?
Let me write it down. It'll be tomorrow night. It won't be tonight because we don't have much time left. But if you want to hear Al Yankovic, is that your favorite Al Yankovic?
Yes.
Okay.
I got, like I said, I got a chance to talk to him.
All right. Yeah. I always liked Another One Rides the Bus.
And My Bologna.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
That was the first one he did. And
Dr. Demento was on the internet until this year. He finally hung it up and retired because it was tough. You know, he was charging quite a bit of money to listen to the internet stream. But I was so sorry when radio dropped him because, to me, he was a Sunday evening staple. He was just a wonderful...
Oh, he was.
Yes.
I look forward to listening to him.
Me too.
And he and I share the same birthday, April 2nd.
All right.
Huh.
Yeah. Is he still living?
Absolutely. He's still living.
Oh, yeah.
Sadly, his wife died, but he's still alive. He's living it. He's got a house in Long Beach.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Maybe I can get...
I'll try to have him on.
I'll
try to have him on. I keep saying I'll do that, and I've been meaning to do that for a long time. We've got his number here somewhere, so I will have John hook up with him, and if he's amenable, we'll have him on the air.
Oh, we'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on tonight.
Absolutely. I'm glad you called, Victor, and thank you for waiting. All right, so we say goodbye to Victor. Now let's see. Oh, this is great. We have Mona Lisa and Marlo, the Lanniers, and singers in their own right. And Mona Lisa has a dance school in Jackson, and they sent me a lovely Christmas card. So, hey, guys, thanks for calling.
Hello, how are you?
All right, Mona Lisa, how are you doing?
I am great. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. What's on tap?
Happy New Year, Melissa.
What's on tap for 2026?
Oh, thank you, John. Yes. I want to say hi to you.
Yeah. And so...
Yeah, and
so,
Marlo. Marlo is here as well.
All right.
Hey, Raleigh Jane.
Hey, Marlo.
How you doing, Raleigh Jane?
All right, yes.
Yeah, we were getting out of church, and we said we're going to call you and wish you and John and Adam and all y'all a Happy New Year.
Well, you too. I'm so glad that you called.
And you know we love y'all now. You know that, don't you?
And thank you so much for the card. I really appreciated that.
Yes, you're welcome. We were thinking about you, and I love you as well.
Well, that's so great. So tell me, what's coming up for the new year? What have you got scheduled, Mona Lisa?
Oh, I am really, really busy. My dance production is April the 2nd.
Okay.
The first Thursday in April, and I am so excited.
That's great. All right.
Yes, it's at the Carl Perkins Civic Center.
Perfect. Just where it should be.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
All right. All right, and Marlo, what do you got on tap?
Well, I'm every day is the same right now. I'm still doing my music. Hopefully something to break in a minute.
Yeah. Well, keep it coming,
yeah,
and the more you put online, the more we'll play and plug for you.
Well, I appreciate you helping me, too. You don't know how much I appreciate that. I'm going to have John sing on my next record.
No, happy to do that.
Hey, I'll let John sing on the next record. I'm going to let you be the go-go dancer.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, man. No, I'm more in Steve Bryan's camp of an older, wiser kind of guy.
No, all that music you done played in the years, I know you know how to shake the tail feather like that song.
Oh, God, yeah, right. I'll just sit in the chair for now, but yes.
Well, okay then, girl. It's always good to talk to you, and we love you. I'll be talking to you again.
I'm counting on that.
I'm going to do better. I'm going to keep in touch.
All right, Mona Lisa.
I'm going to keep in touch.
I'll look forward to that, Mona Lisa. Good luck. I hope the year is just a knockout in every way for you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon,
guys. Okay, bye.
All right.
So how nice. Yes, so the Jackson contingency, Jackson, Tennessee, checks in. And
wow.
Marlo's family, the Laniers, they had some wonderful stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's still singing. And, yeah, I love that it's the Carl Perkins Civic Center as well. It should be. All right, so let's check out Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina. Chris, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Hey, Buck. Hey, Steve. How y'all doing? Happy New Year to y'all.
Hi, Chris. Happy New Year.
I've been watching QVC ever since I was a kid, and I love it. And I remember seeing you and Steve Bryant, Bob Bowersock, Dane Rudolph Tracy, and Mary Beth Rowe. Y'all kept QVC going alive, especially when y'all had that big wheel.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, the prize wheel. Yeah, I broke it one time. I spun it so hard it spun across the building, almost took out a couple of customer reps.
That's
yeah, and
great.
I remember y'all logo, too, because y'all first logo had the telephone on the top.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, QVC came on the year I was born, 1986.
Really?
Wow, yeah.
I have clothes older than
y'all
you,
came
Chris.
A long way. You remember the other game that we had to unscramble the word, like red and blue, like...
Oh, the scrambled word game. Yep.
Y'all should bring it.
We did that for a lot of years.
QVC ain't what it is today.
No,
because you know he's still a good person. He's one of the best ones. And James Rudolph is him and them two and Pat James.
Huh.
Well, yeah, Pat's
y'all used to have the locker
Pat's
room.
True.
But yeah, most... QVC used to have the locker room segment with the sports gear and all that.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, and I remember the first words y'all sell the radio on
shower radio
at the QVC.
Yep.
Shower radio.
The shower radio. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember Bob Bauer. Bob Bauer.
It was
no shopping, and QVC is the first cable shopping in town.
Wow. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Second, but we were earnest.
CVN, I think, was first. And for years, I thought QVC was in Minnesota because CBN was. And then somebody said, no, Raleigh, you idiot, it's down the street from you. I said, oh, really? I didn't know that. I thought they were in Minneapolis. And it was so funny because I think I've told you this, Steve. The house that we were living in Chad's Ford, for whatever reason, you know how it is, how weird things propagate. But I heard the IFB, I heard all the talk back of every camera person on QVC in my home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that sometimes is funnier than what was on television.
Well, yeah, that's true. And the first shower radio, it was an early model. You had to plug it in. We lost a lot of viewers.
No. I remember those shower radios that they hung on like a rope, and they were supposedly totally waterproof. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Exactly. Maybe I just showered wrong. I don't know.
And also, you remember this one person, Kathy Levine.
Oh, yes.
She was a legend.
He remembers her well.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
What happened to her?
I don't know. Is she dead yet?
Yeah, right.
No, I'm sorry.
No, Steve knew her very well, Chris.
Extremely well. Let me just say, don't ever, 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 ever date anybody that you're working with.
Yeah,
ever.
Boy. Yeah.
Ever.
I know.
Never. The Home Shopping Network used to be called the Home Shopping Club.
Oh, yeah, HSC. Yep.
Here's a little toot for you. Yep. You know, they toot the horn like every hour or something, or they have a sale. Y'all don't do that.
I used to toot every hour. I didn't need a damn horn.
You're right, exactly. I just looked up Kathy Levine. She's got a Facebook page, and you could probably friend her if you liked. Apparently, she must still be doing something with Home Shopping because she's
a representative for Diamondique.
Okay, that explains these things that I'm seeing. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, because Kathy Levine is the celebrity just like me, because I've been on CBS, Steve, early last year.
Yeah.
I've talked to Eric Braden that played Victor Newman on The Young and the Restless on the, what's that, Jim Bohannon show on WCRS in my hometown of Greenwood.
It's funny, Steve. John, you know, who's the television watcher in the house, of course I'm not, but anytime I walk by the television, I take a gander at what he's watching, and usually I have zero interest at all. And so I'm walking by the bedroom one night in, like, January, and I see Chris from Greenwood on CBS. Like, what? What? And it turns out, apparently, I literally was, you know, transfixed. I said, this is not our Steve who calls, and he said, we knew he was, and it turns out that I guess CBS had people send in tapes, so that's how you get on there, right, right, Chris?
I was one of them.
You
I
were?
I was on the several times on 60 Minutes with my dog Maggie. Yep.
My dog Maggie. So you're aware of this? I don't know how I missed you, but. But I saw Chris.
Let me tell you this funny thing about 60 Minutes. The 60 Minutes, you know, like on CBS, when you watch the CBS affiliate in the weekends, when you hear that 60 Minutes clock tick, 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 tick,
that's your weekend
about over.
That's right. That's true. It's time of school tomorrow.
Yeah.
I remember.
Oh, yes. I dread that clock ticking on. I try to turn away from CBS back then when I was a kid.
All right. Well, good deal. Well, I'm so glad you hung around and waited to talk to us, and we hope it's a wonderful year for you too, Chris.
Oh, yes, and I love talking to celebrities, even if it's on the radio, because I talked to Victor Newman himself on Jim Bohannon. Now I'm talking to Steve on the Raleigh James.
That's right.
Not a celebrity, just a sales guy.
I also met Sonny Corinthos on General Hospital last year too in Greenville.
Wow. Cool.
Well, good. All right. Well, it's always good to hear from you, Chris. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, yeah, Happy New Year, Raleigh. I'll keep calling.
All right, I'm counting on it.
Happy New Year, Chris.
I love my old QVC back.
All right, thanks.
Well, thank you.
Yes, yes. I think a lot of people would like the old QVC back. That's for sure. Yeah, we're talking with Steve Bryant, and this is about the waning moments of the new year here. If you want to get in with Steve, now's the time to call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Hey, Santa Claus, you want to make me happy this year? Listen to me, honey. Give Pearl something that'll be of some use to me, like a 5-pound box of money. Now there's a little gift. It's loaded with lots of sentiment. See, whenever I get blue, Santa, I'm gonna think of you. But at the same time, that will change to pay my rent, you see? Now, money isn't everything. There's no two ways about it. But while we're here, Santa dear, it's much better with than without it. So, really, I could be real good and not do nothing funny. If you do like I ask you, start me right on Christmas night. Try me. Try me on that money. Just try me, honey.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And it's just a wonder. And, you know, that's a flip side, too. And it was on Roulette in 1959. Wow. And I often thought, I guarantee you that Morris Levy did not give her a 5-pound bag of money or a box of money for that. but it's just a, and it was Isaac actually who requested that last week. So Isaac, if you're listening, sorry, it's a little late, but we got there. And so we have stevebryantblog.com, and there will be a link on raleigh.net, but there's a YouTube channel as well. Is there not?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. You just search, Steve Bryant. I forget what the official name of the YouTube channel is, but Steve Bryant, there's a few of us. It's pretty obvious which one I am.
Well, one would think, what are the other ones doing? Do you have any idea?
One of them is a great bass player in Nashville, and one of them is a serious composer.
I thought you were going to say a serial killer, but all right.
that's the fourth one. That's the one we rarely talk about at family gatherings.
No, when I typed in Steve Bryant just now, it came up to you immediately, and the first song up there, oh man, the old Transgender Blues. All right. It's up there as Steel String Slider, but I don't think you need that. I think just doing it for Steve Bryant, like you say, you're the most popular apparently, because it comes up first. That's for sure. No serial killers involved. That's pretty good.
Well, you want to have a laugh. If you have Alexa, which I know you don't, but if you have anybody who has Alexa, just say, Alexa, who is Steve Bryant from QVC? And sit back.
What is it
going to Alexa
say?
She will extol my virtues.
Really?
Bless her heart. Yes, obviously Kathy hasn't talked to her, but anyway.
I'll tell you, now that Google has that AI contingency, which I normally cut off, but I'm going to leave it on to say, who is Steve Bryant of QVC on this, and see what Google says about you.
Okay.
John just came in here with a baseball bat. I'm not 100% sure what's up, but I guess the show must almost be over. Either that or I said something horribly offensive. But Steve Bryant is a well-known, now-retired TV shopping host and product presenter for QVC, famous for his enthusiastic pitching of technology, musical instruments, especially guitars, and collectibles, particularly during the 90s and early 2000s, known for his energetic style and memorable Star Wars specials, and now enjoys a career as a musician, author, and teacher, sharing his media insights. That's what Google says.
Well, Google. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right.
That's good.
Right. He writes, send these people money. That's good. Speaking of which, there are a ton of people who actually make money on QVC and things like this. Does your channel bring you any cash?
My Facebook channel, they kept pestering me about it, so I signed up. And yeah, that story about the kids coming to my house, that made $10.
Wow!
Think of that.
All right.
I know.
$10. Yeah.
Think of other tales to share. But yeah, that was something. I
just wanted you to, John, that I so enjoy our holiday get-togethers here. These are just terrific. And I thank you so much. And thank your listeners for their kind comments. And you, obviously you especially, because you just make this easy.
Well, I thank you for squandering your New Year's Eve with me. I always feel guilty asking. That's why I said, well, would you rather do New Year's night? I thought, I'm asking him again to give up New Year's Eve. And you willingly did it. Yes.
This is New Year's Eve?
Is New Year's Eve. And in Mountain Time, it will be New Year's in 1 minute and 5 seconds. Yeah. And in Pacific Time, you've got another hour. So I hope you spend it wisely, and I hope we'll be on the air before next New Year's.
Absolutely. That would be terrific. I really appreciate it. A happy and healthy, wonderful New Year to you and John. And a special thank you to Kimberly. What a wonderful way to kick this night off.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, and my best to Roseanne as well. And we'll talk soon.
Good deal.
All right, good deal. So Steve Bryan, yeah, it's always fun. And I'll have the links right at Raleigh.net. Bob kept us on the air, and Bob is my unsung hero because he sends me links. I rarely have time to do anything before the show other than get ready to talk to you, which means eat or something. But Bob sends me tons of wonderful links, and it is so appreciated. Words don't describe it. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Bob. And thank you, John, for screening your calls and all of you who called in. We'll do it tomorrow night. We're delayed an hour by some hockey or something. But after that, 11 o'clock Central, we'll get together right here on WGN Radio.